This is Andrew Womack, and on our programs this week, we are going to be playing some of the teaching that I did when I was in Heidelberg, South Africa. I was in a little tiny place that only had 7,000 people in the whole town, and there were 1,500 people that came to the meetings. We were under a big tent, and we had some great miracles happen too. And not only did miracles happen during the time that I was there, but we had a lot of people come and give testimony about how the teaching had set them free. We had one couple that has seen over 700 people healed since they got hold of this. They aren't pastors, they were just lay people in the church, but they started teaching on healing, have seen over 700 healed. We've had testimonies of a little baby being raised from the dead, heart attacks being healed, some great things. Maybe we'll even play some of those during these programs. But this is my teaching. It was taped in Heidelberg, South Africa during July of 2009. I believe it'll bless you, so listen and be blessed.
You are sanctified in your spirit. You were created in righteousness and true holiness, and that one sacrifice made you holy forever. Forever. Not until the next time you sin. Forever. Your spirit is constantly pure. Your spirit never fluctuates. It's never defiled by any negative thing that you do. You never lose your right standing with God. Anytime you feel like God has left you and God's displeased with you, it's your own heart that's condemning you. It's religion that's amplified it and has made the condemnation come. The Holy Spirit is not making you feel miserable. It's not the Holy Spirit who's taken away your confidence and made you miserable. It's religion. You've been sanctified by one offering once for all. In verse 11, it says, "And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins." It's making a contrast between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. In the Old Covenant, they constantly were sin conscious and dealing with sin. But in the New Covenant, Jesus has dealt with it once for all. But in verse 12, it says, "But this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." Jesus offered one sacrifice for all of the sins of the human race forever. And I know some people are thinking, this doesn't seem fair. How could one man deal with the sins of billions and billions of people that have lived on the face of the earth? Any person who says that doesn't understand how holy and how awesome Jesus was. Jesus wasn't only a man, Jesus was God. You know, if there was an ant hill out there, and if I had pity on those ants, and if somehow or another I could become an ant and still retain the fact that I am a human being, then you know what? My life would be worth more than every other ant in that anthill. A human is worth more than all of the creation. I'm not going to stay here, but let me just put in a little word that this is why you see so many people talking about how we're destroying the environment and we got to take care of this little tiny insect here while they kill babies and abort babies. That's a demonic concept. No person who would kill a baby's got a right to speak anything to me about the way that I behave and do something. People are worth infinitely more than every animal in this entire world creation. That's a misplaced value that does not reflect things. And Jesus was God in the flesh, and his life as God, as creator, was worth more than the entire human race. It's worth more than the universe. The creator is greater than the creation. Jesus was so holy and so pure that one drop of his blood was worth more than all of your sin. And if you're thinking, "Oh no, I'm just such a great sinner," then you have magnified your sin to be bigger than Jesus. You are devaluating Jesus. You aren't appreciating him. Anybody who feels, "But I'm so ungodly, how could God ever forgive me?" You don't have a clue who Jesus was. For Jesus to die for you, one drop of his blood was worth more than all of the sins of the whole human race. Man, that's powerful. Jesus died for our sins. And in verse 14 it says, "For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." Verse 10 says you've been sanctified once for all through the body of Jesus. Verse 14 says if you were sanctified, you have been made perfect forever. Not until the next time you sin. You're perfect. And people go look in the mirror and say, "This is perfect. Man, I got gray hairs. I don't have any hairs. I'm ugly. I got age spots. I got wrinkles." And they say, "This is perfect." No, your body's not perfect. And then they search their mind and their emotions, and they have fear and they're hurt and they're discouraged. And they think, "This is perfect. This is the way it's going to be." No, not your soul either. But your spirit is right now perfect. It's perfect. You can't get better than perfect. Perfect is perfect. It's as good as it gets. Right now, your spirit's the same as it'll be a million years from now in eternity. You're going to get a glorified body and a new soul that knows all things, even as you know. But right now, one third of your salvation is complete. It's over. You're as perfect as you'll ever get. You're perfect. You've been made perfect forever. Why are you asking God to do something else? Why don't you just draw out the perfection that you've got? Renew your mind and begin to start walking in it. And you just can't get any more than what you've got. And somebody still struggles with this. But here's the clincher over in chapter 12, in verse 22. It says that, "But you are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect." This is the same book, the same author. It's in context. It's your spirit that was made perfect. Not your body. This physical body's got to be changed. This mortal must put on immortality. This corruption must put on incorruption. I messed that up somehow. It's over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This mortal must put on immortality, and this corruptible must put on incorruption. So this body's got to be changed. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that we now only know in part, but then we'll know all things, even as also we're known. That's not true yet. So those two things have yet to happen, but in your spirit, you are perfect. And it's sealed so that sin never changes that perfection. You never lose your right standing with God. God is a spirit. He's looking at you in the spirit, and God is always in love with you and pleased with you. God is not mad. God is not upset. He's not even in a bad mood. God looks at us here today, and he's thinking, perfect. You are Jesus in your spirit. You're identical to Jesus. You have his anointing, his faith, his power, his wisdom. You're identical to Jesus. If we could just renew our minds to what we have, we could take 400 or 500 Jesuses out and spread them all over Africa and see the dead raised, the blind eyes open, people set free. And I guarantee you, it wouldn't take long if we had 400 or 500 Jesuses walking and living like Jesus. Religion will tell us, "Oh, those things don't happen today. That was back during the Bible days." Jesus said, "He that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." You have the potential of doing what Jesus did. You have the potential of walking like Peter and seeing your shadow touch people and them be healed. Every one of you have the same power. Peter wasn't different than us. Paul wasn't different than us. Nobody else is different than us. The only difference is some people know what they've got and other people don't know what they've got. You have to release this. I used that scripture last night, Philemon chapter 1, verse 6. The communication of your faith becomes effectual by acknowledging the good things. The reason our faith hasn't been effective is because we don't acknowledge it. We haven't even known what we've got, much less acknowledged it and thought about it. We've been going around saying, I'm an old sinner saved by grace. I'm not an old sinner. I was an old sinner, but I got saved by grace, and now I'm the righteousness of God. I am in Christ Jesus, and I can do what Jesus did, and I can think like Jesus thought, and I can walk like Jesus walked. I can't do that in my own strength, but through Christ, who I am in the Spirit, I can do it. And if you would get that same attitude, I guarantee you, brothers and sisters, you could go back and change your world. God's not going to call every one of you to do what I do and travel the world, but every one of you have a world that you influence. You know, I spend millions and millions of dollars on television and radio and putting out books and doing things like this. And I'm doing all of these things to reach people. And yet there's people that you know, that you influence, that will never hear of me, that will never receive from me. And so you have influence in a world, an area of influence that I'll never have. And for us to reach every person with the gospel and present these truths to them, it's not going to be up to me. I can't buy enough television time. I can't put out enough books and CDs and DVDs. Every one of you have to take and find out who you are and go back. And when you go to your farm, when you go back to your church, when you go into your family gatherings, you have to know who you are, and you have to begin to start drawing on this life of God and release it. And if you don't do it, I can't reach them. You can't depend on these pastors that are here to reach everybody. Every one of us have to find out who we are. There are some of you that go to school, and your school friends will never be reached by me, but they could be reached by you. Every one of you have people that you influence. You may be the only Bible that they ever read.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the almost too good to be true news of the gospel. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 South Africa Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM238 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The second CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the second teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
The truths that I've been sharing on our program, it's not that they're difficult, it's just that they're so different. You know, there's not very many people that think the way the Bible thinks. The renewing of our mind, going back to what God's Word said, is the most important thing that's ever going to happen in your life. And you know, we do this through our television program, through our materials, but really the best way that I have to help you get into the Word of God is our Charis Bible College. We not only have our main campus here in Colorado Springs, but we have 13 other campuses around the world with more coming online. And we do have an online school, correspondence school. There's many ways you could take advantage of it. So I encourage you to call and inquire about being a part of our Charis Bible College.